love Liberty and Lip Gloss. Daria, Daria Ann. Daria, how are you?
Hey, Lisa.
We are actually starting our rebroadcast of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. We were on Friday nights for a while, and then we decided to move to Thursday nights and do some revamping of our of the program and the way we were doing it. We thought that this was a great time to relaunch the show because October is a very important month for women. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month as well as Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we're going to be this week focusing on breast cancer awareness, and next week we'll be focusing on domestic violence awareness. So we're going to really try and hit some subjects that are of immediate issue to women and are problems that women are dealing with, as well as some kind of cool things about being a girl, which there are some. We don't always remember them, but there are some. So we actually initially premiered the show back in, I think, on November 29th, 2013, and we were doing, we were having a really good time with it, but we just didn't know exactly what we wanted to do with it. So we decided that we were going to figure it out and pick another night, and this is what we ended up with. So we hope this fits in with everybody's schedule better and that everybody enjoys listening. So just a little bit more about me. My name is Lisa Tarvis. I'm a metaphysician, board certified holistic health practitioner, intuitive counselor, and the author of the book Just Believe. And I'm also the radio show host of Just Believe on Sundays at 7 p.m., where we talk about spiritual topics. And Darianne, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about you?
Sure. Hi, everyone. Well, I'm an author, a blogger, a social media marketer, and founder of the Right to Radio Network. And feedback goes away. I don't know what's going on tonight.
No, I hear that too, but I only hear it from you for. I don't hear it on my end. I hear something weird from. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know. We've been striking out so far today. I gotta tell you, I had trouble dialing in. Then Derry had trouble dialing in. I had trouble dialing in. I couldn't get it to take our passcode. Then I'm like, okay, we're not gonna play any music, and the music just automatically played. So I'm like, all right. So we're striking out. We're doing awesome here.
Yeah.
It can only get better.
Radio land.
I
will.
All right. Do you hear it coming from me?
Not at all. I think it's my Skype connection. If you guys can't hear me well, I might as well just call back in very quickly. So
All right. Why don't you go ahead and do that, and I'll get started. I'll keep going, and we'll go from there. I can always talk.
All right. Be back soon.
All right. All right. All right, so this is live radio, folks. This is truly live radio. This is the way it works. We have hiccups and we have technical difficulties, and we're having all of those things tonight. So fun. Anyway, so Daria and I actually run the Right Stream Network together. Daria is the founder and brought me on very early on, and we have been growing the network and added Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I think it was our fourth show that we added to the network, and we now have a 7-day lineup of shows, so we're really excited about that. Lots going on with Right Stream. So to visit the Right Stream Radio Network and find out more about our shows and about our hosts and all of that, you can visit rightstreamradio.com. And you'll find all the information you need about all the shows. And there's a comment sheet and a contact sheet. Don't comment, though, about how horrible this sounded tonight, because it's really not our fault. Anyway, so tonight we have two amazing women on that I'm very excited to have on the show. And I want to bring them on in just a few minutes. We'll read their bios and get them on. I think Daria's back. Daria, how you doing?
How am I sounding? Better, I hope?
Yeah, it's a little better.
A little better. Okay. Well, I'll take
that.
Well,
it's better. I mean, it's not perfect, but it's better. I don't hear. Do you hear that feedback? I don't hear that.
No, that finally went away. So yeah. I don't know. Maybe I just had a bad connection there with Skype.
Yeah, it happens. I was looking at some, like I said, tonight we are focusing on breast cancer. And I was looking at some statistics of breast cancer on, I don't know, some page I got from the internet. And it's actually interesting because what I found was the statistics for female breast by age. This is specifically for the United States in 2013. And I guess for they call it, it's abbreviated SITU. I don't know. Maybe the ladies that are on with us will know what the heck that means. I don't know what that means. But I'm assuming it's a lower stage cancer. They're under the age of 40. There were about 1,900 people diagnosed. And there were 10,980 of what they considered invasive cases diagnosed, and 1,020 deaths. That's hard. I'm not even sure if this is accurate. That's below 40. 50 or younger, between 40 and 50, 15,650. So the number jumps from 1,900 to 15,650. And the
wow.
earlier stage cancers, invasive goes from 10,980 to 48,910. And deaths go from 1,020 to 4,780. So that's a 10-year gap between 40 and 50, or, you know, well, before 40 and before 50. So, you know, basically that 10 years of that it jumps that much. Then you have between 50 and 64, it jumps from 15,650 to 26,770 in the early stages. Invasive cases is 84,210. And deaths is 11,970. Then 65 or above is 22,220, which actually is lower than the 50 to 64. But invasive is 99,220, which is higher than the 84,210 between 50 and 65, and then or 64. And then deaths went from 11,970 to 22,870. So those are some very scary statistics about breast cancer. And I think this is why it's such an important topic and why we're talking to two breast cancer survivors tonight and two people that are passionate about getting information out there to women, to other women, signs, what to look for, what you go through if you do get it. I think that's an important part to cover. So, Daria, why don't you talk about who we have on tonight? Because these are actually your contacts, which is awesome. And, yeah.
Okay, well, you know, I want to thank these ladies so very much because, as everyone knows, our guest that we had originally scheduled a month ago, she had a very positive development and had to go out of state to California for some meetings and things, but it kind of left us in the lurch because we had a few days left that we were scrambling for guests. So I just want to say that I really, truly appreciate it. It's really Marina, who's one of our guests tonight, Marina Fontaine, who responded to what my desperate plea to in our writers group on Facebook, because I was posting everywhere I could think of that somebody might know someone who would want to, you know, join us tonight to talk about their experience with breast cancer. And without hesitation, Marina responded, and she referred Sue, who is our other guest for this evening. So I want to go ahead. Let me read their bios, and then we'll go ahead and bring them on the air. So let me tell you a little bit about Marina Fontaine. She is an immigrant from the former Soviet Union, a proud American, busy wife and mom, and hardworking accountant. Marina is also an aspiring author and book addict who manages several online writing groups. Okay, and then Sue Bolich, her work has been published in many fantasy and science fiction venues. As a fantasy writer, she brings a love of the natural world and a degree in history to her work, achieving gritty, realistic worlds with a sideways slant on reality. Sue is the author of the Masters of the Elements series that turns physical laws upside down and inside out and makes you cheerfully accept the oddities. She is also an accomplished horsewoman. So we have two very accomplished guests to welcome here tonight to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss to discuss breast cancer and breast cancer awareness. So let's go ahead and welcome Marina Fontaine and Sue Bolich to the show. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for being on. Like Derry just said, we were really scrambling, and you guys both saved us, and we really appreciate it. Because you think you have everything all set up, everything lined up, and then you get thrown a little lurch, and well, but it worked out really well because there's nobody that knows breast cancer better than women who have suffered through it and come out on the other side. And I think both of you have accomplished that. So talking to experts, I don't think we can get better experts than people that have been through it. So thank you so much for coming on.
I'm delighted to be here. This is Sue.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. Hi. Good. Thanks again. So why don't we talk, Marina, why don't you tell us a little bit about I see you're working as an accountant and you're a mom and a wife and all of that and I guess you're writing, are you writing our book?
I am attempting to write, yes. I got the writing bug.
Yeah.
From all the author friends I've been hanging out with online. But mostly I'm a reader, and it really helps me in life. It's one of my coping mechanisms. And one thing that I have learned from going through cancer and some other things that just happen in life is it's very important to have your coping mechanisms to know what helps you, to know what gets you through bad times. So this is one of those things.
Absolutely, I think that's really good advice. And what do you think you used as coping mechanisms for you? Was it writing?
Back in the day, I wasn't writing. When I found out I had cancer, it was a huge shock because I was so young, and back then there wasn't as much information, there wasn't as much stuff available on the internet. So my coping mechanism at the time was just research. I just wanted to find out as much as possible about my odds, and that's basically what I did. And, of course, my husband was incredibly supportive. We were only married for 2 years at the time, and he was wonderful. The family was wonderful. And that was pretty much it for me at the time.
How old were you when you were diagnosed?
I was 27.
Wow,
so
that is young.
It was very young, and it was really just a series of wonderful doctors who got me through this, and I can't say enough good things about them because they really could have, the first OBGYN who found just a little something, he wasn't sure what it was, it didn't even feel like a lump. He just decided to go ahead and test it with a little needle biopsy, and then some atypical cells came through. And again, no worries, you're too young. Young girls, young women don't get cancer. Then I just went for a consultation with the surgeon, and again, no worries, but let's test some more. Let's have some more tests. He sent me to a mammogram. He sent me for an ultrasound, and eventually just decided, again, just to be safe, to do a biopsy, and in the biopsy, it was discovered I did have cancer. So it really was physicians who really cared about doing what was best for me. And I can't say enough good things about both of them.
Well, that's awesome because that's, that's something that I think when you go through cancer, your doctors become so important to you, and their knowledge and their experience and their ability to give hope. You know what I mean? To give you hope is more important than I think people even realize. You know, that they're the first person that you talk to that you can kind of pick up on whether or not you're in big trouble or not. You know, and I think that that's really important.
That's right. It's basically you're relying on your doctor. Nowadays, I think there is more opportunity for women to do more of their own research and advocate for themselves a little bit more.
Right.
And obviously, there are more options because that was almost 20 years ago that I had my cancer. But the doctor is always your best friend
right.
in this case.
Right, and Sue, now I know you are, I went on your webpage, by the way, when Darius sent it to me, and I was like, holy crap, you've written a lot of books.
I have, with more coming out, yes.
I was so interested. I'm a paranormal freak. I love, like, the paranormal stuff. I love the fantasy stuff. I love the whole time travel thing, all that kind of stuff, and I was totally, like, I'm reading about these books. I'm like, oh, my God, how have I not found her before?
Good. Keep thinking like that and tell everyone else, too. Yeah. They're fun to write, I have to say. They take a lot of research, but I majored in history, so that's kind of my thing. And, yeah, I love writing.
How many are there in total?
There's 5 out right now. There are another 5 coming in a series that the first book is out, and the other 5 are scheduled. So the whole series is written and sold. And then there are books in the drawer that I need to pull out, revise, and send out that, you know, are still waiting. So there's quite a few. I wrote for years and years and years kind of twiddling in the dark and wasn't really interested in subbing until I got online and discovered that, you know, maybe this stuff isn't so bad. So people started encouraging me to push stuff out there, and I started to sell. And so about 8 years ago, I finally bagged corporate world and went out on my own, and I'm a full-time freelancer now. So, yeah, it's been good. It's the writing life is definitely for me.
No, that's good. That's good. I'm glad because that's, you know, when you have that passion, it's hard to do anything else. You know, you just
yeah, it really is. Yeah, the day job just can't compete.
Right, absolutely. No. That's yeah. Darian knows that one. Tell us a little bit about your story. When were you diagnosed with breast cancer?
The first time in 2002, I was happily lying in bed on a lazy Sunday morning, and I happened to be lying in exactly the right position to do a self-exam, so I did. And it's like, oh, my God, what is that? So, you know, I flew to the doctor next morning, and he says, well, you know, it's not looking so good. So he, you know, sent me down to the mammogram, and the radiologist, God bless him, he comes out and he says, you know, this is not looking good. I'm going to talk to the surgeon, and he called him right there. It was just, I'm like Marina, I cannot say enough good things about the medical system and the doctors, because they just, especially when it's cancer, they just, the oncologist and all that whole department, those guys are wonderful. They are absolutely wonderful. So they don't mess around. They try and get you in and get treatment as fast as possible. And That went through. It was very well. It was a stage one, you know. Went for 10 years, thought I was cured. And November of 2012, I got very sick and went in, and they parked me immediately in the hospital and said, guess what? It's in your bones. So I'm back in treatment. But, you know, there's lots and lots of options that weren't there even 10 years ago. So, you know, it's just one of those be vigilant things. I would recommend that to any woman, you know, no matter what age you are, as Marina found out.
Right, yeah.
You're not too young and you're not too old, and just, you know, don't be complacent is what I would say.
All right, and, you know, you do think that when you're in your 20s, I think everybody still thinks that you're, you know, you're untouchable. You know, nothing can happen to you. And I think that this shows, breast cancer, I think, is one of those things that certainly doesn't, I mean, not any cancer does, but breast cancer for women definitely doesn't care how old you are, you know. And I've known women, my sister had a friend who died early 30s, four young children, you know, from breast cancer. And it was horrible, you know. It was horribly aggressive from the second she found out she had it, and you know, they just couldn't keep it under control, and that was her outcome. So, you know, it's a scary thing. But I think one of the things that everyone needs to know, whether it's breast cancer or anything, if something feels wrong in your body, and especially when it's your breasts, or you know, or it's a you know, it's a gynecology kind of issue. People don't, or you know, even like you know, there are a lot of things that people get just embarrassed about, and they don't, and they want it, or they're so afraid of it, you know, no matter where it is, that they don't want to, you know what's wrong. And I think that's a big lesson and a big thing that everyone can kind of take about their health in general, is that don't be afraid to ask, because the earlier they find it, the more they can do for you.
Can I say something here? I would say don't assume that it's going to get better, which was always my thing, because I've always been healthy. I'm a farm kid. I grew up in the country. I live in the country. I do everything for myself. And, you know, I've always been strong, and I always get over stuff. And this last time, holy crow, it was just, I couldn't get better. I felt awful that I wouldn't go, because I think, you know, it's just a passing cold. It's going to be better. No, dummy, go to the doctor. So, you know, it was stupid, because I just assumed that things were going to be the way they always were, and you can't really assume that. You know, if you feel that bad, just suck it up and go to the doctor, please, because you never know. You never know what your body's really fighting.
Right. To me, I'm the one that I sneeze and I call my doctor. I'm like, oh my God, I sneezed. You know, and so I'm like the other way. You know, I completely overreact to everything, and then I go in and I tell my doctor all the things WebMD tells me I have, you know, and he's like, you know what I think? He's like, this is what your problem is, Lisa. You spend too much time on WebMD. That's what your illness is. And I'm like, come on. I mean, seriously, I'm just trying to be careful. He's like, no, it's very good that you do research. And then he starts his doctor spiel. The whole time I can just hear him rolling his eyes, like, even though I can't see him at the time. It's just funny. But, yeah, I think that's very true. I think that if you are somebody, there are some people that just have the doctor fear thing, you know, like I'm like that with the dentist. I don't want to go anywhere near the dentist. But, you know, and I think people get like that way about doctors, too. They just don't want to go.
Oh, I don't. I hate going to the doctor, but, you know, it's not an option anymore.
And that's so true as you get older, too. You find, what's there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, too, you know, one of the things that does my heart good, you know, it did my heart good when I was listening to both Marina and Sue give their testimony, is the, you know, the satisfaction that they had with their doctors and their medical staff.
I believe.
You know, coming as the daughter of a hardworking general and vascular surgeon, you know, my dad was a son of immigrants, worked very hard to become a doctor, worked very hard, loved his patients. He doesn't perform surgery anymore, although he still works as a staff physician. It's just, you know, what I've seen happen with sort of, I think, like kind of like the demonization of doctors over the years, and with respect to cancer too, and you know, Lisa knows this, I'm all about like holistic health as well, but I feel like when it comes to cancer, you know, we have these celebrities on TV telling us, and I'm not going to name any names because I don't want to get myself in trouble, but you know, we have celebrities on TV saying, oh no, I'm going out of the country, I'm doing like holistic for my cancer. And, you know, as my friend Maureen Miles-Bucci, who was a new author who wrote a book about surviving endometrial cancer, said, you know, us little people, we don't have the option of leaving the country. And she, like both of you ladies, was also very, very pleased with her medical staff and just raved about her doctors and nurses and just everyone that took care of her. So I just want to say, like, I'm thrilled to hear that feedback from both of you, because I think that gets overlooked in our press and in the media. I mean, breast cancer is a horrible thing, but there are really good doctors and scientists and researchers and nurses working really hard to help patients survive and thrive. So I just want to thank you for, I'm just happy that you had that experience and thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I think that's huge. I think that's huge too. My dad was just recently diagnosed, as Daria knows, with pancreatic cancer. And he is stage 4 and all of that, but he raves also about everyone he is in contact with, his oncologist, the radiologist, all the nurses, you know, every single person that works with him, he finds to be incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly kind, you know, and still like, you know, kicking his butt when he needs his butt kicked, you know. It does seem to be an industry that attracts the best and the brightest.
Well, it would certainly require a certain kind of person to be working in the field, even not necessarily just the doctors, but even the nurses, all the
right.
support personnel, down to the orderlies who clean up in the hospitals. They all just have such kindness to them. It just makes the whole experience so much better.
And, I mean, I think Sue can probably testify to this more than anyone, is the change in technology just in the last few years has been dramatic. And I would think, Sue, you probably see that from having gone through two different times.
Well, three, if you count my mother, who died of it in 85. So what she went through was horrendous compared to what I went through. And, you know, like now, this time around, you know, when I went through chemo the first time, you know, they really hit you hard the first time. And it's all the ghastly stuff that you hear about. And I swore I would never do it again because it was so awful. But now I just went back into chemo here a week before last and just finished a third bout of radiation this last Tuesday. And it's very tolerable. I actually feel good. And so they have so many different newer types that are less hard on you that, you know, it's not nearly as scary as it used to be as far as the treatment being worse than the disease.
Right.
They're really focusing on quality of life as much as survival. That's one thing I love about my doctor is that because it's in my bones and I had a tumor in the spine that was kinking the spinal cord enough that the specialist kind of looked at the MRI and went, huh. And I'm like, okay. I finally just started laughing at him because he was like, huh, I can't believe you're still walking. It's like, okay. So they get very excited when I get on my horse and they're like, don't do that. But my doctor's like, go enjoy your life.
Right.
So
yeah, and
he's about the quality of life as well
right.
as just, you know, running around like a mother hen going, don't do that, don't do that, you'll hurt yourself.
Right.
Well, you know, he understands that life is to be lived, which I
yes.
love.
And that's important, and that is so important, because nobody wants to go through life suffering or go through life not being able to live it. I mean, that's really not the point. I think that that's awesome that they're doing that, and I noticed that they're doing that with my dad as well. Is, you know, they're actually with him, they started out they told him, or he told me at least, you know, I don't know what actually happened, but he said it was a very, they started him out slowly on the chemo, and so he wouldn't get sick right away, but he's doing radiation every day, and he is just amazed by this machine that does the radiation, and I don't know anything about it, but he's like, it's like something that, you know, when he was a kid, my dad's 79 years old, he's like, you would have never thought a machine like this would even exist, you know, in your lifetime, and what it's able to do, it's amazing.
They are very nice, Rogers, I have to say.
Yeah, I keep telling them, I'm like, you gotta understand that you're gonna get to the point where you're gonna be back on the golf green and, you know, golfing again and, you know, doing what you love to do. And he's like, I sure hope so. That's what he says all the time. I sure hope so. I'm like, well, it is. That's just the way it is. So, yeah, it's and I think that's so true. The quality of life is so huge, so huge. You know, there's no point in living if you're going to be in a lot of pain and not able to do anything.
You know, ladies, we're at the bottom of the hour. I wanted to take a quick break for some commercial announcements. But when we come back, I want to get into a little bit about the chemotherapy and radiation and just kind of get, you know, your take on that and maybe some of your thoughts and advice for anyone listening who may be facing that very soon or who is currently undergoing that. So everybody stay tuned here. We're just going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Breast Cancer Awareness.
You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network, tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Honor Flight provides, at no cost to the veteran, the opportunity to see the memorial that the American people have built on our National Mall. And I think that there's probably no better organization out there today that can provide something to somebody for nothing.
If anyone wants to see the importance of Honor Flight, look into the veterans' eyes and how they tear up when they are brought here.
When they walk into that memorial and they see that their friends will never be forgotten, that the sacrifice that they paid will always be cherished, always revered, always honored by this nation, they're taken back by that.
The best program I've ever been associated with. You know, we're all in the same fraternity. If it hadn't been for these guys, I don't know where we'd be today or what language we'd speak.
I say about the terrorists, Al-Qaeda, if it weren't for these guys, we wouldn't have to worry about terrorists today. We'd already be occupied. We'd already be a different country. So we owe them a lot.
We're racing against a clock. In another 5 to 7 years, it'll be a moot point. They will be gone. We're working as fast as we can. But we need so much support from so many people to make these dreams a reality. This is probably the last chapter in their lives. And for some, it's literally the last paragraph of their lives. What a way to end their stories.
This has been one of the really great days of my life.
I'm sure glad I was able to live long enough to see it.
And we are back, everybody. You are listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. This is Daria Ann, and I'm here with my co-host, Lisa Tarvis. Hey, Lisa, we're back.
Hello.
And we are talking breast cancer awareness with Marina Fontaine and Sue Bolich. Hi, ladies. Welcome back.
Hi.
Hello.
Before I went on break, I just wanted, I mentioned, Sue, I think you had brought up chemotherapy and radiation, and I wanted to kind of cover this topic. And Sue, we'll start with you, and then Marina, I want to also get your take on this. But Sue, what can you share with anyone listening who may be facing this kind of treatment? What advice do you have for them, and any words of encouragement based on your experience?
There is an end to it. When I was going through it the first time, I had chemotherapy every 3 weeks, and there was, I think, four altogether, which meant that for 4 months my life was relatively miserable, because about the time that you start to feel halfway decent, you got to go in and face it again. And I was teaching at the time, and it was very hard to be upbeat. And, then the students were great. My students were wonderful. So they were really great about, carrying me through. And my employer was terrific. But still, it was like, if I have to do this again, I'm just going to say, screw it, cut my throat now, please. When you get through it and you start to feel better and you realize that they got it and, life goes back to normal, you just have to get through that awful hump in the meantime. And then there's an end point, and you start to feel better, and, life becomes good again. That was a big one for me, because I really didn't know that going in. And this time around, because the treatments are better, and I can carry on kind of a normal sort of a life here, it's not nearly as bad as you think it is. It feels horrible at the time, but there is a point beyond that that you have to focus on. I would say that to them going in, is think about the outcome, not where you are right this minute.
And wouldn't you say asking questions, like I always think that some people are afraid to ask questions. And do you think that that's important?
Yeah, I would say you can go to, see, I don't spend a lot of time out there researching and second guessing. And, I do want to be aware. I do want to know what new treatments are out there. And I will ask my doctor. But it's a matter of trust to a certain extent. And you can drive yourself crazy with, just like you say, go out to WebMD and there's a bunch of stuff that you don't understand. You think it's there, I mean, these guys are doctors. They have the knowledge I do not have. And
Right. Personally,
I do not want to be driving myself crazy trying to correlate all this stuff that I was never trained in. I will trust my doctor, and I will inform myself. If you feel that you... if something's not right, because when I was going through it, it dehydrated me. About 3 or 4 days after each treatment, I would be up 7 times all night, all day. I got to the point where I couldn't stand up. I mean, they had to catch me when I stood up because my blood pressure was so low. So I called them finally and said, is this normal? And they said, well, this is something that we've never heard of. Come in. And so after every treatment, 4 or 5 days later, I was in there getting fluids intravenously to bring it back up. And that was something they had never seen before. So everybody reacts differently. If you think that you're in trouble, by God, pick up the phone and call them. Just ask the question. They're happy to answer. They want you to be healthy, and so by all means, ask the questions that you need to ask.
Right.
Sure, because they can't, they're not mind readers. If you don't call and ask, they're not going to know, what you're dealing with. So it's so important to be proactive and to feel confident in calling and saying, like you did, Sue, hey, is this normal? I mean, I think that's such an important point. Marina, what was your experience like with your treatment?
Yeah, I actually, as I said, I was very fortunate with my diagnosis that they Discovered it just at the point where they were borderline on chemotherapy, and because I was so young and I had no children and wanted to have children, they chose to just give me radiation. So I did go through 6 weeks of radiation. It is, as Sue said, it's good to know that there is an end to it because it is very exhausting. Even though there is no systemic effect, it's not like with chemotherapy where you get sick necessarily, but it is still a harsh treatment, even though it's localized, so the body needs a lot of energy to heal itself. So basically during that time, they told me, and again, I was young and I wanted to keep working. I wanted to still keep doing stuff, and probably if I had to do it all over again, I would treat myself with a little more kindness. I wouldn't travel to the city to work. But that was basically the worst part of radiation, of just getting tired because your body is using so much energy on healing from this process. But again, there is definitely an end point to it, and when the nurses tell you, you can actually, if you are not getting chemo and if you have appetite, this is the time that you can actually indulge in. You can have milkshakes and whatever else you like to eat. So it's kind of, I always try now more than then, but even then I was always trying to look at the positive side a little bit. So I was like, oh, I could go and I can have a milkshake and I don't have to worry about losing weight. Because unfortunately, with radiation, you do need to lose weight. You tend to lose weight. I'm sorry. So you don't have to worry about gaining weight. You can indulge yourself a little bit, and every little bit of positive emotion helps in this case. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, that was funny that with Maureen's book, that was one of the things I learned about radiation, that it does just create so much fatigue for the body, and I did not know that. And Lisa, I'm sorry. I just want to ask this question, and then please jump back in here. But did either one of you experience? You know, because we were talking about how wonderful your medical teams were—the doctors, the nurses, everyone who took care of you, and everyone who was involved in your treatment. Did you ever have to deal with what Maureen called in her book, sort of like the friend doc, people who said, "Well, didn't they order this test or that test? Wasn't your doctor asking you for this?" Did either one of you, Sue, I'll start with you. Did you ever have to deal with, like, well-meaning friends who questioned the treatments that your doctors were prescribing?
No, actually, most people just were like, okay, what can I do to help? They didn't really try to insert themselves into the process. The one question that I really didn't want them to ask, one of my friends said, you know, I suppose you're just asking yourself, why me? And I said, actually, I'm trying very hard not to go in that direction because it doesn't matter why me. It's here. I just have to deal with it. So I didn't have that. I was fortunate. You know, you can be so shell-shocked when you go to the doctor that it's good to take someone with you to ask the questions you don't think of. And I'm very fortunate that my sister did that, but they never tried to say, oh, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And so I was really grateful for that. I was, yeah. I can see where people would be trying to do that, though.
Yeah, that's excellent. Marina, how about you? Did you ever deal with that?
A little bit after the fact, because that's actually one point I want to bring up. As to why me, a lot of people, especially now, we are so bombarded with all the things that can cause cancer that it's so easy to start thinking, what have I done in my life that caused this? And most of the time, from all my research, I have done a lot of research on my own, just because I am a bit of a control freak. I want to know as much as I can. And most of the time, the answer is nothing. It's just happens. There are so many factors. The human body is something that nobody quite understands 100% yet. So you really shouldn't try to go in that direction and try and figuring out what you did wrong and what you could have done better to prevent it, because sometimes there is no answer to that. So it's all a matter of moving on and going forward. So I have had a couple of people who were into organic foods and stuff like that trying to tell me, oh, maybe you were eating wrong, maybe you were doing something wrong, maybe you need a special diet. And I did go through a period during and after, obviously trying to change my diet a little bit. But at some point, my surgeon I was following up with said, you know what, you can do all these things for prevention, and you can obviously try to live healthier, but you still have to enjoy your life.
Right.
So I think that's important to remember. You don't blame yourself for anything that you might have done, and you enjoy your life when you can.
Yeah, that's important. You know, one thing I wanted to talk about a little bit, too, is, you know, being diagnosed early, the finding it early. What are, obviously, women have found the lumps and things of that sort that they're not sure what they are, so it's certainly something that gets their attention, and I would assume that's what sends most women to the doctor. But I'm wondering, are there other signs? Do you guys know of any other initial signs of breast cancer?
Not really for breast cancer, no. Aside from actually feeling the lump. And one thing I also found out, when you're young and you haven't had children yet, you may not even feel anything in your breast, because the breast tissue is very dense when you're young. So even on a mammogram, if you start having mammograms earlier, like sometimes they recommend if you have family history to start having mammograms earlier, but they are of limited value at that time just because of the nature of the breast tissue.
Right.
So unfortunately, it's there are some cancers that you just have to be diligent with what you can, just going for checkups and stuff like that. But
right.
In early stages, there isn't really a whole lot that you can know about it.
Well, even in stage four, which is where I am because it's straight into the bones, my shoulder blade hurt, but I had fallen really hard on the deck in the winter in, like, January of 2012, and so I thought I had just bruised it really bad, and, of course, I chopped my own wood for my wood stove, and so it was kind of constantly an aggravation. I thought, well, you know, come spring, it'll be better because I won't be doing that anymore, and, you know, I just kept getting worse and worse, and that was really the only sign until the fall when my lungs started filling up with fluid and I finally couldn't breathe and went in and they said, oh, well, you know, by the way, here's a little nodule here in the lung that's irritating it. So it's a stealth disease. There's not necessarily going to be a lot of obvious symptoms. So that's why the diligence and the self-exam and the mammograms are really important, because there's not necessarily going to be any overt signs that you're sick.
And I think that's probably true with most cancers, if not all cancers, is that by the time you have symptoms, you're probably more advanced. You know, it's probably a more advanced cancer. With breast cancer, you do, if you are diligent and you do take a control of your health by doing self-exams and by going to, you know, have your yearly checkups and things like that, you're more likely, I guess, having a lump would be how you get diagnosed early then.
Right. So, obviously anything like breast cancer or let's say something like skin cancer is something that you can self-examine and you can see.
Right.
Other cancers that are internal, then it's just a matter of Actually, my OBGYN, we were talking about ovarian cancer because often, unfortunately, ovarian cancer and breast cancer go together. And he said that even though it's also one of those stealth cancers, but after the fact, a lot of women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer tell him, you know what, I have been feeling something wrong. I have been feeling a little bloat. I have been feeling just something wrong with my body. I couldn't pinpoint it. And then after the fact, they realized that maybe they were feeling some small symptoms.
And it's probably something. It's probably something that they could have in their mind, probably blamed on something else.
Correct. I'm not sure which cancer. It's possible it's ovarian cancer. Their slogan for awareness is it's a cancer that whispers, so you have
yeah,
to listen.
Yeah, that's
and
true. That's exactly what it
a good
is.
Thought.
Yeah. Well,
I know from Maureen's story. I'm sorry. Like she, because it mimics ovarian, a lot of women think they're in menopause because a lot of the symptoms are very similar to menopause, and it affects many women in that age range, and that's why it's so scary, because you might think that the bloating and then the other symptoms you're experiencing are just sort of a normal part of menopause when they may not be.
Right. So, again, it's basically just a matter of listening to your body and not being afraid to discuss it with your doctor, which comes back to the importance of having a doctor that you can trust and discuss everything with. I can't overemphasize it for myself.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And honestly, if you live near, I would guess pretty much any big city now, there is probably a hospital that is well known for its cancer research. It used to be you had to go to New York, or it used to be there were very few that you'd have to go really far to get the best doctors, and now it seems like they're all over. The good doctors, good oncologists, good radiologists, all these people, they're all really over, all over the place now. I know we have a lot of good ones in, Philadelphia, but I kind of think you expect that out of Philadelphia, and my dad being in Clearwater, going to Tampa hospitals, and me being like, you should come up here, and he's like, our doctors are fine down here, and him loving his oncologist. I think that's awesome that there are fantastic ones everywhere, and it's not, you don't have to fly anywhere else, you don't have to fly somewhere to get treatment. You can have it done close to home, which is huge.
Yeah, well, I think a good friend of mine many years ago, this was back in the late 90s, had breast cancer, and this was down in South Florida, and she raved about her doctors at Bethesda in Boynton Beach.
Yeah.
And she's been clear ever since. So I think a lot of times there's this misconception that you can only find a good doctor in New York or a big city, but like Lisa said, they're everywhere now. And it's kind of nice that you can stay local and still enjoy the comforts of home if you have to go through something like this.
Well, and
right.
There are now research
and,
initiatives.
Also, a lot of these large hospitals nowadays have partnerships with community hospitals.
Right.
And there are also some oncologists who will give a consultation and develop a protocol of treatment that pretty much any hospital, local hospital, can follow, so you don't have to be living in the city to receive the best treatment and the best protocol and the best medication that suits you. You can get it anywhere you live.
Well, and just the information sharing that's available now that was not available even 10 years ago, and the fact that they have better software now that can crunch all the data they've been collecting and, find patterns and protocols that they couldn't before because they simply did not have the computing power that, is like four extra researchers for you. So, we're moving ahead. Technology is really helping the fight because all these big cancer centers are now starting to be able to interact with each other better than they could before. So, you know, you'll see, I think, an accelerating sort of breakthrough, you know, over the next few years as that data becomes available. It doesn't matter whether you're at the University of Washington or if you're at Bethesda or the Mayo Clinic, they're able to share all that information.
That's a great point.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a, I've even seen that out here with Children's Hospital in Philadelphia, which is, you know, well known for treating serious illnesses in children. And I have a neighbor whose child had leukemia, and they were able to do a lot of their treatments now at a satellite office of Children's Hospital, which was in King of Prussia, which is a whole different, when you're out in the suburbs, King of Prussia is a whole lot easier to get to than getting into the city. They are making things easier for everyone, which is nice with the extra facilities and, you know, the partnerships and things.
Yeah, now, are either of you ladies actively involved in any of these charitable organizations or, you know, that raise money for research and things? Like, what are your thoughts on that? Marina, let me start with you, and then let Sue answer.
Yeah, in terms of charitable organizations, I really believe that your best bet is just giving money to research hospitals, because that I think that's where most of the breakthroughs are getting done. And obviously American Cancer Society does a good job of raising awareness and things like that, but if you really want to advance research, I think that would be your best bet. And it's not quite related to this show, but my husband has been treated at Sloan Kettering, so I am very familiar with how they operate. And they're constantly working on new things and new methods, and they're working with pharmaceutical companies. And for a research hospital like that, when they have more resources, it all goes directly to the patients and direct research. So there is basically no overhead that you would get, even with the best charitable organizations. Again, charitable organizations are great for support. That's kind of the first step when you get diagnosed. After you visit your doctors, then you go online or you go wherever and you look for all the support groups, and it's all great. But when we're looking for breakthroughs and to really these big jumps in technology, I think it's the research places are the place to go. So this is basically where we're giving our resources, and this is what I tell people. If you want to help fight against cancer, because they cover all kinds of cancer, and it's such a complex issue, such a complex disease, that I think that's where it's at, I think.
Wow, that's excellent advice. And Sue, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. There's the research end. There's a new initiative. Well, it's been around for a few years. It's Say No to Cancer. I think it's a Hollywood initiative, which is, you know, you shouldn't dismiss it immediately there, because what their aim is to, you know, instead of the government funds and grants are like, you know, $20,000 here, $100,000 there, which is kind of a drop in the bucket, these guys are putting millions into the initiative, and they are forcing the cancer teams, the research teams, to work together and share information to get that money. So that is one approach. Those guys are one that you might want to check out further. But also, I would say, look at your local level as well, because cancer has so many things that go with it, as far as, you know, little stuff like wigs. If you're poor, wigs can be very expensive. Cancer treatment stuff, having somebody drive you back and forth to the doctor, having a special bed, stuff like that. There's a local charity here that I like a lot, that's it's Cancer Care of Spokane, And that's what they do, is they help patients in the home. They help them get the little amenities that make their life easier. So there's that other whole aspect of it, of living with cancer as well as trying to cure it. So I would recommend looking at some of those as well if you want to help. I want to eradicate this thing, but in the meantime, we have to live with it. So, you know, look around, see what your neighbors need.
Yeah, that's such a great point, because it's like life doesn't stop for the cancer patient, so the house still needs to be cleaned, meals still need to be cooked. You know, if you have pets or kids, they still have to be taken care of. It's like life doesn't stop for the person dealing with cancer. That's one thing I learned from Maureen's book. So, and I think even, you know, as individuals, I mean, we can't help everybody, but all of us can help somebody. So if you have a friend or a relative or an acquaintance or a neighbor that's dealing with cancer, you know, pick up the phone and call them. Ask them if they want a ride to chemotherapy. Ask them if, you know, they want you to cook a few meals. You know, that's one thing I learned from her book, is like to call up and offer meaningful support. Because you're right, it's not all just about, yes, we all want to find a cure, but it's about those little things that you can do for the person in the here and now that's dealing with it.
Yeah, that's so true, because, you know what, things like making your kids lunches for school or getting them up and dressed in the morning or cleaning your house and, you know, all these things that make you feel good about doing, you know, as women, we feel good when our houses are clean. We feel good when our kids are well taken care of and, you know, we say goodbye to them in the morning. And you know what, if you're not feeling well, if you're not well enough to do that, you can start feeling really guilty, you know, about that. So that's a really good point, is that, you know, remember there are local charities and you know, you have your own community to get in, you know, to help you. And, you know, reach out, ask for help. You know, you can ask, you know, people, sometimes people don't know what to say. They don't know what to do for you. So a lot of times if you just ask them for help, that they feel better because they're able to do something for you and you get your need taken care of. So I think it's a win-win.
My ex-boss told me, don't be a hero.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's no need for it.
Let people help, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I always say how, you know, my dad right now, being so exhausted from the radiation and chemo and everything, he's just like, if he's not at the doctor, he's asleep. And I always say, you know what, if your body's telling you to rest, you got to rest. So, you know, the resting and the sleep is important, obviously, at this time. And, you know, you need people that can do all the things that still have to happen, you know. And that was a really good point, Daria, is that, you know, like you said, you still got to get bills paid. You still have to have somebody write that check. I mean, just writing that check, I'm sure, sometimes feels too exhausting, you know, to do the simplest things. I've never struggled with anything worse than, for me, thyroid disease. And I got to tell you, I know how exhausted I was when that was at its worst. I can't imagine what something like this is, and it really makes you think, you know, you feel very lucky that you're healthy, and do as much as you can for those who aren't.
So true. So, Marina and Sue, is there anything that you'd like to share that maybe we haven't discussed tonight? Marina, let me start with you. Is there anything you wanted, you know, to let our listeners know that we haven't, you know, gotten to?
I was actually going to point, ladies who, in case anybody's listening, who has gone through mastectomy or lumpectomy, and they are just looking to feel better about their body, and they don't necessarily want to go through the whole restorative surgery. Because I went through this whole process, I started, because I only had a lumpectomy and I didn't feel I needed anything, but, you know, I breastfed three kids on just one breast, so at some point I decided I need to do something. So there are places actually online that you can buy all kinds of things to make yourself look better. And I'm not just talking about wigs during the chemo, but you can get breast forms, you can get swimwear, you can get beautiful hats that if your hair hasn't come back yet. There's a website called Swimsuits for All that has wonderful swimsuits that are very affordable for when you can go to the beach, because I know that's usually for a couple of years after the surgery, you have scars, you don't want to show your body at all. So these are the little things, again, the little things that people don't think about, but there is so much stuff available out there. You can get your swimwear, you can go to the beach, you can feel good about yourself, you can feel strong, and it makes such a difference when you are recovering and when you're a survivor. You're going to be survivor, cancer survivor, basically forever. It's who you are. So anything you can do to feel better about yourself and your body, it's all out there for you. You just need to look and you need to ask. So that's my final piece of advice, I guess.
It's a good one. Yeah, absolutely. Sue, do you want to add to that?
Do I want to add?
Yeah.
Yeah, she covered that part exceptionally well. What I would say is that just because you're diagnosed doesn't mean that you're dead. There's so much hope to be had. And, you know, I'm in it twice now. And, you know, I'm still kicking. I'm still living my life. You know, just because they've dropped this devastating news on you does not mean, you know, that you should run into a corner and cower and assume that you're going to be dead in a couple of years or a couple of days or whatever it is that your paranoia level may be at. Mine was pretty high because of my mom. you know, it was just really stupid. One of my very first reactions, because I'm a Tolkien fan. I was like, but I want to see the third movie. You know, they only have brought out like the first or second one. It's like, okay, set a goal here. You know, I'm going to live long enough to see that dang third movie. It's really amazing where your mind goes and it's under stress.
Yeah, no, that's funny though.
Yeah, but there's hope. And just, you know, there's things to cling to. Find them. Find them and just hang on tight. That's what I say. Because
that's right.
You can get through it.
And there is really nothing like going through cancer or any kind of terrible experience like that. Even though I have to say, in comparison, my experience was not as terrible as for some others. But there is nothing like it to afterwards appreciate everything you have. I mean, you guys can't imagine. I have spent my teen years basically not exactly hating my body, but I did not want my body to be seen. I was covering myself up. I had this wrong with it and that wrong with it. But after having cancer and after surviving, and even though technically I now have this little deformity, I feel better than ever. And even though I am older, but I appreciate everything I have. I appreciate my body. I appreciate the family I was able to have. Having had cancer is just so special. So if for any of you who are listening who have been diagnosed, who are survivors, there are so many positive takeaways from this experience. I just can't emphasize it enough. Just think of the positive. Think of everything you've gained rather than anything that you may be losing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really good point, too. That's true, I think, in so many areas of life, too, is that, you know, I think fear takes over. And when fear takes over, a lot of times it just seems like we give up, you know. It's a tough beast to fight, I guess, is, you know, the truth of it. And, you know, the fear alone is very, very hard to get through. So I think that's excellent advice. And, you know, every day you count your blessings. And I guess when you've gone through something horrible, you count your blessings so much more, you know, so much more than when for those of us who haven't been through something life-threatening like that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You are both so inspiring and positive. I mean, it's been such a pleasure, you know, discussing this with you tonight. And you just both have such a bright spirit. And I know that you've really uplifted anyone who's listening now and who will listen to this in the archive.
We really appreciate you guys being on, and we're really, you know, trying to bring awareness to a lot of different women's issues. And obviously, breast cancer is a very big one. And, you know, everyone, do your self exams, pay attention to your body. And if something feels off, if you feel like something's wrong, go to the doctor. Just go and get checked out. Worst case scenario, they tell you you're a hypochondriac and send you home. That's in my opinion, that's a really great diagnosis. I think that's the greatest diagnosis of all. Yes, you're my doctor. Just stay off WebMD. Here's your prescription. So your husband would take your laptop away. You know, but that's really good. That's a great diagnosis. So don't be afraid to go to the doctor. Don't be afraid to check your breasts. I mean, you know, and again, one of the things, like some people, my sister-in-law, who also had breast cancer, had a double mastectomy and is doing fabulously now. She also felt hers by laying on her side or on her stomach or something, and felt something strange. One way that I've heard, and you guys can tell me if this is true or not, that a lot of times they say in the shower is a really good time to check your breasts. And I don't know if that's because you're wet or soapy, or if it's because it's just a way of thinking, like, okay, it's time to check my breasts because I'm naked in the shower. I'm not really sure, but is that true?
It is what they're recommending, yes. It could be because of the warmth, maybe.
Right.
It makes your fingers more sensitive to anything you're feeling under the skin. It's possible. Or maybe because how many times do we really just stay naked and look at ourselves?
Right, absolutely. Right. And it's a good habit to get into, you know, I mean, it's a good habit to get into is, you know, think when you're in the shower, think, well, when's the last time I, you know, check my breath. So I think that's something important too. Everybody just has to figure out what their own thing is, what works for them, and then go for it, you know, and make sure you stay on top of it.
Well, and the last thing to remember too is that it's not just women who get breast cancer.
Absolutely, very true.
My brother's doctor, you know, warned him, it's in your family. Just be aware, you know, it could happen to you. So, yeah, it's not just women.
Yeah, right. that's a really good point, because we do think of breast cancer as being a woman's issue, and although it's obviously more of a woman's issue, there are a lot of men every year diagnosed with breast cancer as well. So that's a really good point. So.
Right, and another thing I actually want to bring up, yes, there is some kind of genetic predisposition, but. Something like 70% of breast cancers are not genetically determined. So just because you have nobody in your family who has had it doesn't mean you should have this false sense of security, because really anybody can get it.
Exactly.
Wow, I mean, that's interesting. Wait, so you said 70%?
Yes, because I actually did get genetic testing. My insurance covered it because of my history. But afterwards, and I did it so I would decide whether or not to get tamoxifen as preventative. And bottom line, after I tested, and it came up negative, by the way, and the doctors explained to me that really a very large percentage is not genetically determined. So even though it's good to know if you are, if you do carry the gene, but if you don't carry the gene, you can still get it from other factors. They really don't know exactly what's causing it.
That's really interesting, though, to think that you went through, had the genetic testing done because of the family history, tested negative for the gene, and then got breast cancer anyway.
Right. I actually got tested after the fact. I got tested after the fact.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, because, first of all, it's also, like I said, ovarian cancer kind of goes with it, so I wanted to know. A couple of doctors I spoke to said that I might want to have my ovaries removed if I test positive. But that's really one of the reasons I got tested. But in the end, they just said, okay, you're clean, but it doesn't really, it means something, but it doesn't, it's not a guarantee of anything.
Right.
Yeah, that's very true, because my mother died of it, my father's sister died of it, and both of my cousins have had it. But I had both genetic tests done, the primary one and the secondary level, and I don't carry that gene either. So
unreal.
Where does it come from? Who knows? Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, that blows my mind a little bit. That kind of blows my mind just a little bit, because
yeah.
I always thought, especially with breast cancer, that it was very much hereditary.
Not necessarily.
And that's for both of you to have experiences to the contrary is pretty amazing.
Yeah, which is why it's such a frustrating disease.
Wow. Well, there you go. I mean, that's probably a good way to, you know, to close out tonight, is to say to everyone, you know, don't think you're off the hook just because it doesn't run in your family. If there's never been a case of breast cancer in your family that you're aware of, then, from this conversation, I would say be more aware and more on top of it, because odds are, you know, at some point somebody's gonna have it. And it could be you, so you want to be more careful. I mean, not to be doom and gloom, but that's a really big, that's a big deal, to think that it's, because people think, oh, well, that can't happen to me because that doesn't run in my family.
Yeah, they get lulled into a false sense of security.
I think
the biggest lesson I'm taking away from tonight is that just listen to your body and don't dismiss something because you think it's just a minor, something that's unusual for your body. Don't dismiss it because you want to just brush it off, or you're afraid, or you just think it's nothing. I think that's my biggest lesson from this conversation tonight.
Yeah, that's important. That's real important.
But before we sign off, Lisa, I want to give Marina and Sue each an opportunity to let our listeners know where they can find them on social media or, you know, on the internet, because there may be some people who are listening to it now or who will listen in the archives that may want to reach out to you. And if they know where to find you on social media, that would be really helpful. So, Marina, where can we find you?
I basically live on Facebook, so that's probably the easiest place to find me. I am under my own name on Facebook. It's Marina Fontaine, Fontaine. Marina like the boats. And my avatar is a reading guinea pig. That's how you find me.
That's how
That's
I
know. That's cute. I like that.
Because that's my two passions. I love, aside from my children, I love my guinea pigs, and I love to read.
That's cute.
Awesome. And Sue, where can we find you?
I do have a website for my books. It's www.sabolishbooks.com. There we go. And I am on Facebook, both as Sue.Bolish and as S.A. Bolish. So that's my author page. I'm on Twitter, S.A. Bolish Writes. So, yes,
okay.
I'm kind of out there.
And for our listeners, that's Bolich, that's B as in boy, O-L-I-C-H, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Sometimes on the radio it's hard, you know, it's hard to really get the, you know, sometimes we spell it out because it's hard to comprehend what it actually is. So I just wanted to make sure. So, and on Twitter you are at S.A. Bolich, right, you said?
Yes.
So I'm going to follow you. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm typing right now where we're talking. I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow her. I'm looking her up right now.
And may I say I'm impressed that you got the pronunciation right. Almost nobody ever says it Bolich. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome. I think for me, too, I'm so used to people butchering both my first and last name that I'm very sensitive to that. So if I had a dime for every time somebody said to me, what's your name? What's your first name? How do you say that? And Maria, you and I had this conversation a while back on Facebook. So
yep.
you can relate to that, too. So. But we want to thank you, ladies, so much again for joining us tonight. I know it was short notice, and you stepped up, and you with no problems, and you know, we're just so grateful to you for being so willing to share your stories and your advice for our listeners. And Sue, I'm going to have to book you for a future episode of Right Stream Tuesday so we can talk about your books also. So anyway, y'all still there? I feel like it's so quiet all of a sudden. I hope Skype is
connecting. I'm still here.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for having us on. It was a good conversation. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Absolutely.
So
thanks for putting up with all of our technical difficulties this evening. And who knows? We got to close out yet, so there's probably more to come.
Yeah. We're used to it. So for everyone listening, this will be archived. So if you're listening and you know of other people who couldn't tune in live, let them know. It will be archived a few minutes after we sign off tonight. And Lisa and I will be promoting it all over social media. So we've got lots of great information here. Please share that with all of your friends and everyone you know, who, which is pretty much everyone. I think this is an important topic for
yeah.
everyone to be informed about.
Absolutely. All right, guys, thanks so much for being with us tonight, and we would definitely I know, Sue, that you would be a great fit for Daria's show, so I'm sure she'll be in touch with you soon about being a guest on Right Stream Tuesday. So don't get too comfortable not talking to the Right Stream Network.
I won't. I will be happy to be back.
All right.
Good luck with your books.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Good luck. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that was great. That was a really great conversation to have. I think it's a great way to relaunch Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, talking about an issue that affects women so much in this country and all over the world. I really think that it was a good topic. Next week, Friday, or pussy, I'm going Friday again. Thursday night at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's funny, but next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we're going to be talking to the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County, which is a local place for me. But we're going to be talking about domestic violence and domestic violence statistics and what to do if you're in an abusive relationship, and teens and abusive relationships, which is mind-blowing. I can't even tell you what I know about that and what I've been learning more recently about what goes on with our teenage girls. So we're gonna hit on that next week. And I think that's it. Daria, do you have anything else?
Well, I just want to let everybody know about the network, some upcoming programming notes. We're so thrilled to have two new shows launching this month. We have the Speculative Fiction Cantina with best-selling author F. Evan Townsend. He will be broadcasting his first live show Friday, October 10th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. See, I do it too, Lisa, so it'll feel bad. And then thereafter, every Friday on the network, he will be broadcasting the Speculative Fiction Cantina at 6 p.m. Eastern. And then we are really happily anticipating the launch of SEO strategies with Snapperhead. I believe it's probably going to be a week from this Saturday. I have to double check with Alan, but we finally have our techie show, and Alan Scott is a website builder and an SEO expert, and so his show is really going to focus on technology, and again, that'll be on Saturdays. I'm not quite sure if he's settled on morning or afternoon, but I will let everybody know. We'll be updating the website as soon as I have all that information. But just very excited with all of the new developments with our network, and you know, check us out at rightstreamradio.com. You can find us on Facebook, Right Stream Radio Network. Follow us at Right Stream, of course, that's WRITE, Stream, on Twitter. And, you know, we certainly welcome your suggestions, guest suggestions, topic suggestions. So if you go to our website and click on Contact Us, both Lisa and I will receive your email, and we certainly welcome your feedback and your suggestions, because we're always looking for great guests, and we're always looking for compelling topics that our listeners are going to enjoy and get something out of, and we appreciate the tips. So I just want to thank everyone for all their support. And Lisa, for your support, I mean, you started on this venture with me back in March of 2013, and it's been a blast, and I'm really just looking forward to more good things coming up, you know, later this year and going into 2015.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's really coming together. We have 7 nights of broadcasting now, with some more changes coming. So it's 7 days, I should say, not nights. It's a full 7 day lineup now, and lots of new things coming up. And we're really excited about our new shows that we're adding, and we're always interested in everybody's feedback. Like Darius said, please feel free to go to rightstreamradio.com. And you can comment, and Darius and I will get it, but even if it's about John D. Gresham's show, Military Monday, we'll make sure he gets the feedback. So you can send it no matter who you're trying to get a hold of. You can send it to us, and we'll make sure the right person gets it. And we appreciate all the support that we're getting for our network. We're getting some really fantastic listeners and some really great people that we're working with now. So we appreciate everyone being part of our network, and look forward to much more exciting things to come.
Yeah, and speaking of exciting things, Lisa, what do you got lined up for Just Believe on Sunday?
Well, I have psychic readings with
Yes,
we're going to be doing live psychic readings with the Queen. Yes, I'm not sure where she's a queen, but her name is the Queen, and actually she has an interesting story about how she got that name. So she's actually really good. She does a lot of like chat readings and a lot of phone readings and things like that. So I think she's going to be a great fit for Just Believe. So everybody can call in on Sunday night at 7 o'clock at 347-945-7246 if you want to get a free psychic reading with the Queen. That would be awesome.
All right, yeah, and call in. Try to call in at 6:45. I'm Lisa's friendly call screener. I'll get you in the queue, and we'll do our best to get everybody read. Because as you can imagine, Lisa's live psychic reading shows are very popular, and it's hard to get to everybody. But we do our best, and I think we do pretty well. We try to get everybody on the air. But the earlier you call in, the better your chances of having a reading. So please do that. And Lisa, really quick, I also want to give a plug for what I have coming up on Right Stream Tuesday. This
Tuesday at 1
p.m. Because this is another disease that is just so insidious, and I really didn't know a whole lot about it until Karen, my guest, Karen Franks, in full disclosure, hired me to like redo her website and edit all of her content and help her with her social media platforms, and that is Lyme disease. I was blown away just by the complexity and the everything that goes along with this disease. It's the doctors who are brave enough to treat it are derided as quacks by the medical establishment. Patients who have it, you were talking about being, you know, billed a hypochondriac. A lot of these patients are just told that they're hypochondriacs, and it's just very, very difficult to diagnose, to treat, and to overcome. But Karen certainly has done that, and she's going to tell her story. And she has actually translated this whole experience into advocacy for Lyme patients. And Lisa, you live in Pennsylvania, so you might be interested to know that Pennsylvania is number one for Lyme
disease. Oh, I don't doubt it.
Diagnosis. So.
Well, Pennsylvania is also overrun by deer. And with deer come deer ticks, and with deer ticks come Lyme disease. And I think that's probably why. I know I've had some clients that have come to me for a Reiki because they are just at their wit's end with going and trying to get help from doctors to get an accurate diagnosis. It seems like there are a lot of misdiagnoses and wrong diagnoses for Lyme disease. So I think that's a really important topic and maybe one we should cover on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss one day too.
Yeah, we'll have to bring Karen on for that. I know she's such an articulate, passionate speaker. And she's a nurse. Karen is a nurse, and she was a pharmaceutical rep. She's got 2 degrees from the University of Penn, and she's a smart cookie. I actually went to high school with her, and we happily reconnected on Facebook a few years ago. And then, you know, when she hired me to do this website job for her, that's when I really discovered just how complex it is. And it's not just Lyme disease. It's all kinds of tick-borne diseases, too, that go along with it. It's just really crazy. So I know that she's going to share a lot of great information, so I encourage everybody to listen on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And if you're curious and you want to check it out in the meantime, you can visit karenslimestory.com for more information about that. So I'm looking forward to that show. And Lisa, again, I just want to thank you so much. I'm thrilled that we've got Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss back on the airwaves. And I know we're going to be talking about some really serious but important topics here, along with some lighthearted ones. And we're still going to have a lot of fun doing it. So I hope our listeners had as much fun as I did tonight.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And it's funny because I was just thinking, wow, I hope everybody doesn't think every show is going to be this serious. Because we're talking about, you know, cancer, and we're talking about, next week we're talking about domestic violence. But these are some issues we chose to take on now because of the fact that, you know, that it is October, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And you know, but we have the week after we have the DVCC, the DVCCC, it's the Domestic Violence Center of Chester County. We actually have Josie Milner on, who's a country music musician and an anti-bullying advocate. But she's going to be interesting to talk to. She's a young lady who is trying to break into country music and doing a pretty good job doing it. As everyone probably knows, if you pay any attention to me, I love country music. And and she's also taken on the bullying as one of her causes. So we're going to have her on, and then we're going to have Christy Kennedy on the week after that, which she's going to be talking Look the Part, Be the Part, Get the Part. And the week after that, we have Abigail Rich on, who is a supermodel and Playboy bunny. So there are all kinds of fun things coming up. It's not all going to be serious. That's just October, what we've got going on. We have 5 shows in October. So I just realized that. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we have 5 shows in October. So so we're going to be taking on some really great topics, fun stuff as well as serious stuff. And hopefully everybody enjoys it. And if they don't, well, you can tell us. You can go visit the rightstreamradio.com site and send us a comment. Tell us you don't like us. We might cry, but it'll be all right.
I was going to say, yeah, you can make us cry if you want to.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, that's all right. We're strong. We're strong like that. All right. I guess that's it. And we will talk to everybody next. Well, I will talk to everybody on Sunday at 7 for Just Believe. Daria will talk to everybody on Tuesday at 1 for Right Stream Tuesday. And then on Thursday at 7, we'll be back with another Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. So everybody tune in for all of that.
And have a great weekend, everyone.
Have a great weekend. Bye, everyone.